too. It's a good song. We always need to remember, no matter how bad it seems, God has brought us through so much. And he is always performing miracles for us daily. Today is May 18th, 2011. Tonight's message is going to be on Habakkuk. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn to the book. It's in the Old Testament. Bless you. We're going to talk a little bit about Habakkuk. I started studying and was trying to figure out what I was going to, you know, what the message was going to be about, what the Lord was going to have me preach, what the whole way the Holy Spirit was going to lead and guide. And I kind of felt like blind because I didn't have the internet. But luckily enough, I started studying and flipping and reading and turning to stories and stuff. And I came across this book, Habakkuk. It's a 3-chapter book, and it gives us one of our most widely known and used scripture, quoted by Paul in the New Testament in Romans. So a lot of times we see in scripture where the New Testament references the Old Testament and vice versa. The Old Testament prophesies of things that happens in the New Testament, like in Isaiah and all the prophecy about Christ. But with Habakkuk can be seen as with a lot of similarities to Job. Okay? Habakkuk was actually a prophet. He was a man. That was his name. I like saying it. Habakkuk. Sounds funny. But a little is known about his personal life, but he is the writer of the book carrying his name. He was the last prophet in Judah before Jerusalem's destruction, and his strong sense of justice would not let him ignore the weaknesses around him. So when he was in Judah, he complained that God allows violence and injustice among his people. How many people do you know complain about God and what he allows? There are a lot, right? But this was the great thing when I started studying last night. And you know, you do a mighty work for the Lord. You walk a holy walk as best as we can. You have your beliefs. You know why it's in your heart, why you believe what you believe. You don't always have the reason for that. You just believe. You just know that you believe. Well, I've always believed that God will use people in our lives, whether they are sinners or whether they are Christians. He will use a person, even a person that's a sinner, God can use to affect your life for his purpose. And I've always believed that, but I've never had biblical proof. Well, you're going to get that tonight, because that's what Habakkuk tells us. Okay? But Habakkuk went to the Lord, and this is why Habakkuk is referred to, or similarities are, it's compared to, that's the word I want, it's compared to Job. If you know the story of Job, Job didn't really say, maybe he did. He talked about why things were happening to him. His friends would try to give him the solutions. Job went to the Lord to find out why these things were happening, why his family died, why he lost all this, you know, his possessions, all those kinds of things. Job obviously has a lot more chapters in it than Habakkuk does, but there's a lot, you know, there's more content in Job. Habakkuk, though, did the same, basically the same thing, went to the Lord and complained and asked God, brought to his attention all the violence and the injustice among his people. In Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 2, the word says, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and wilt thou not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and wilt thou not save? Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to uphold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Okay? Why are you, there are these people in my life that cause me problems, that always want to battle me. Right? Therefore, verse 4 says, therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore, wrong judgment proceedeth. The wicked encompass the righteous. Do you ever feel that way? Like the wicked prosper and the righteous are always falling short, right? Those are things of the world. It's hard for us to look past that because we are in the world. It's hard, we focus on God, His ways. We praise Him for the things that He does in our life, but we still get discouraged. When you see other people that are wicked prospering, where's the justice, right? And that's what Habakkuk was saying to God. Hello? Are you seeing this? Lord, are you seeing this? Right? Habakkuk was actually shocked to learn the Lord's plan for dealing with the problem. Okay? And God is quick to tell him. The scriptures that I read to you were from chapter 1, verse 2, 3, and 4. It only takes us to verse 6. To get guidance from the Lord. And the word says, for lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, which is also the Babylonians, that bitter and hasty nation which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. The Chaldeans were sent to punish Judah. Habakkuk was troubled by the prosperity and the rise of power that of the wicked, both inside and outside of Judah. He was troubled by this. The wicked prosper. The righteous are being forsaken. The righteous are being persecuted. This makes no sense. We're called to draw closer to God. Do we do it because we want something? Well, our only goal should be to be in heaven, but prior to that, do we do it because we want something? Do you loan somebody money because you'll get repaid? Word tells us not to. The word tells us that if you loan somebody something, don't expect to be paid. Right? We're supposed to give out of the kindness of your heart. Habakkuk was frustrated. There was wicked both inside and outside of Judah. And they were prospering at the expense of the poor and the righteous. And he wondered where God was and why he hadn't done anything about the injustice. He hadn't done anything. The scripture that I have, that I quoted is from King James. I also brought my study Bible that's New King James. And verse 5 says that the Lord's reply was, look among the nations and watch, be utterly astounded, for I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it were told to you. Watch. How many times do you just surrender it to the Lord and stand back and watch? And how long does it take for those that are wicked to self-destruct? Sometimes it takes a while. People of the world like to call it karma. I'm sorry. I don't believe in karma. I believe in heaven and hell. I believe in God and the devil. The devil will use things against you. It doesn't take long. Look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded. That's verse 5. And verse 6 says that I raised up the Chaldeans, a bitter and hasty nation, which marches through the breadth of the earth to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity proceed from themselves. They're self-righteous. Well, how long does it take for a self-righteous person to be brought to their knees? Generally, it doesn't take long. Right? God will see to it. In verse 13, Habakkuk argues with the Lord that the Chaldeans are far worse than the disobedient Jews. And he tells God, you are of purer eyes than to behold evil and cannot look on wickedness. Why do you look on those that who deal treacherously and hold your tongue when the wicked devours? So he's still questioning God, right? This type of question that I just read to you. You are of purer eyes than to behold evil and cannot look on wickedness. Why do you look on those who deal treacherously and hold your tongue when the wicked devours a person more righteous than he? That's the question. It's a direct question that indicates Habakkuk's faith. A lot of people say that we don't have the right to question God, what he's doing. Well, I guess it would depend on how you're asking it. Just like your child, okay? If your child questions your authority or what you're, you know, it depends on how they ask. But just because you're greater than them or they're your child and you're the adult doesn't mean they can't ask a question. Doesn't necessarily mean they'll get an answer because that's your right. And I would, and the Lord is the same way. You can still ask him a question. Honestly and truthfully, only a person that is close to God would dare ask a question like that. Only a person that is close to God would be bold enough to question the purpose of the Lord. Remember what Job was told? Where were you when I created, right? It's fine to ask God why. But belief in God includes the belief that he has an answer to our difficulties. A lot of times people cry out in their tribulation, in the things that they're going through. They cry out for mercy. They cry out for understanding. Why am I going through this, Lord? Why? There's nothing wrong with asking it. You may not get an answer. There's nothing wrong with asking it. You know? It'd be different if you stood and said, who are you to, who do you think you are, type of thing. There's a difference there, which you're not doing. Generally, when someone asks why God is doing something, it's in their anguish. It's in their trial. They're seeking understanding to know why they're going through what they're going through. And God will reveal it to you. It may take a little longer than you're, you know, you may not get an immediate answer. But it is okay to ask God why. If you ask him why at everything, well, that would be kind of silly because we all know why most of the things happen the way they do, right? But when our focus is on when the focus is on our faith in God, our faith is in God, he brings the issues of our faith into focus. When we're questioning our faith and doubting what God is doing and wondering why we're going through what we're going through, we're doubting our faith. We're doubting the purpose for things. And God will bring those reasons into focus and help us understand. But God assures Habakkuk that the Babylonians or Chaldeans will prevail not because they are righteous, but because they are temporary instruments of judgment in his hands. And that takes us to chapter 2, verse 4. It says, behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. The Lord, however, says he's only using the Chaldeans for his purpose, and will, in time, punish them for their own sins. He is using them for his purpose, and in time he will punish them for his own sins. He pronounces five burdens of woe against the Babylonians. It's in chapter 2, and it goes verses 6, 9, 12, 15, and 19, which I'm not going to read. But there are five different calamities that God will bring upon them to strike them down. And then he reminds Habakkuk that it's not his job to question God. Not to question God's ways, I should say. Chapter 2, verse 20 says, "But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent before him." God is in his temple. He's in control. Yeah, you can ask him. You may not get an answer, but you can at least ask, right? Habakkuk, like Job, ultimately submits to God's authority. After this assurance, he breaks out with a beautiful psalm of praise to God, which is all of chapter 3. Chapter 1 talks about him questioning the violence and injustice and gives us a little bit of explanation. Chapter 2, basically the root of it, tells us about the woes and the burdens that God's going to bring on those people that have done the righteous wrong, the wicked ones. And chapter 3 is Habakkuk's song of praise to God. This is one of the greatest testimonies of faith in the Bible, this book. 3 chapters. Short, sweet, and to the point. But our world is much like Habakkuk's. It's full of violence and injustice. But God is still in control. Whether we sense it or not, he's working it out for his own purpose. And God will use the wicked to move in the hearts of the righteous. Right? I want to talk to you a little bit about one of the scriptures that I read real quick, since we're going through this pretty quick. I don't even know what time I started. We got time. Huh? Okay. The scripture that I read was chapter 2, verse 4. "The just shall live by faith." This scripture was also quoted by Paul in Romans 1:17 is where the most popular common scriptures quoted. The just shall live by his faith. It's one of the important principles of the New Testament. Because obviously in the Old Testament they heard all these things. They had the law then. They heard about the prophecy of the upcoming Christ. In the New Testament, they had Christ before them, and then he left. They had to trust and have faith that he was who he said he was. That they were able to see all the miracles that he performed. After Christ left, though, you have all these generations upcoming that didn't know. You have this new movement of those that believe in Christ, that followed Christ because they knew him. So therefore, they weren't turning to the Old Testament any longer other than to give reference. They weren't following the Old Testament. They were following the ways of Christ and what Christ had told him. So you have all these upcoming, you know, new people that were born, coming of age, questioning, following and falling into the faith. So they had to trust the things that the older generations were telling them until the Gospels were written and published and copied and distributed. They didn't have Bibles to go back to and reference. So they had to rely on the word of others, and that constitutes having faith. Having faith and trusting in what other people are telling you. So then they became people of great faith in the New Testament, just like we are today. We rely on our faith to get us through all these things, because without it, where are we going to go back and obey the law? I don't know where you can get A lamb as pure as white, and bulls to slaughter, and turtle doves and all that to do your sacrificing at the temple. And I'm sorry, even though I'm your pastor, don't bring them here. Okay? So that's what they had in the New Testament. They had their faith. The Apostle Paul quoted that, and he told them, the just shall live by their faith. It's not by your works. And it's the key to the Christian life. That's how we live. We walk by faith. The fact that Paul quoted Habakkuk in the Old Testament is very relevant because it takes us to that next level. It takes us to that next step. And it reveals the secret of the victorious Christian life, and that it is a righteous person that lives by faith and through faith enters into the life of the Spirit. Right? Ephesians 2:8 and 9 present the heart of the gospel that we are not saved by our religious works or good deeds, but through faith in Christ alone. In this, the message of Christianity is totally unique among the world's religions, which all teach that you can get close to God through self-support and religious works. Other religions teach that. The Christian faith teaches that it's not by your works, but by your faith that ye are saved. And it's important to remember that. Through all of these things, Habakkuk went to the Lord and said, what's going on, Lord? What are you doing? And God said, I'm using these people for my greater good. They're doing my dirty work. Doing mighty good at doing my dirty work, too. But you know what? They'll pay. They will pay. How long does a wicked person prosper? How long do they succeed before they pay? Right? People call it karma. No, it's the Lord. Okay? Sooner or later, it will come around. God will bring on those burdens, on those woes, and they will be brought to their knees. They'll either convert or they'll remain in their sin, in their wickedness, in their own self-righteousness. And we know where their eventual destination will be, their final destination, right? Habakkuk encourages us to trust God even when God seems unfair and unresponsive. Even when you don't see what God's doing, even when you don't understand why you're going through what you're going through, even when you ask God to show you and bring your faith into focus and he still doesn't do it. This chapter of this Bible in the Bible encourages us. There's a purpose. There's a plan, and God's in control. The wicked will only prosper for so long. Sooner or later, it will end for them. Their reign on their high horse will end. They will be brought in. And honestly, I believe that's the same of righteous people. People that knew the Lord and now have stepped away and are not obeying God, are living in sin, God will only put up with that for so long. No matter who it is, he'll get your attention one way or another. And you'll either praise him or you won't. You'll either draw close to him or you won't. But God will be victorious. The word of God in Christ says in the word that all the lambs were given to him and he lost not a one. So that tells us that even those that knew Christ, that knew the Lord, that aren't being obedient right now, they will still not be lost. But that all these things are being worked for the greater good of those that love him. God will succeed. He has a purpose and he has a plan. Don't ever doubt it. You may not understand it, and I can't tell you that I'm gonna either. But God knows. And that's where our faith comes in, because the just shall live by faith and by faith alone. It's where you place your faith and where you place your trust that makes the difference, all the difference of the world. Determines where you will spend eternity, basically. Amen. Does anybody have any questions or anything to add? I'm just going to close real quick with Habakkuk, the hymn of faith, chapter 3, verse 17 through 19. The word says, Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, the fields yield no food. Though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills. No matter how low and how deep your valley is, God will give you the feet to allow you to climb out of it by his mighty hand. Just don't give up. We know what happens when you give up. Continue to live by faith. Continue to walk by faith and not by sight, trusting in God alone for all things to be done, and he will be glorified in your life. Amen. That's a word for tonight. If no one has any questions or anything to add, we can stand for dismissal.